Amen. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. We're so glad that you are here with us today. Maybe some of you are watching online, and we're blessed to have you with us. To my dad, I say Happy Father's Day, and so glad that the roads were flooded and he couldn't go to his church today. And no, I'm not glad about that, but I'm glad he's with us today. It's special, especially on Father's Day. Lord, bless our time together. I pray in the next few minutes, help me to be a blessing to your people. Give me words to say, and God, maybe we could just have a good time here for a little while in your presence. Ask you to encourage people that need encouraged. Ask you to strengthen and bless. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God, whatever that alert is right now, we take authority over it. In Jesus' name, we cast out all storms. And everybody said amen. Amen. What is it? It's not a tornado warning, is it? Flood? Ah, flood ain't got nothing on us around here. You can be seated. We have church through floods. Literally. Brother Silvers, keep an eye on the creek for us. Would you do that? I talk tough, but if the water comes up, we will move our cars. It's kind of neat that my dad is here today on a couple of levels. One is that it's Father's Day, and another is kind of my topic. I want to talk about Dad's toolbox. So I remember when I was a kid, little kid, my dad, he was always doing projects, and he knows how to do just about every kind of trade. He knows how to do it. And he and I, my granddad, I've told you many times, my granddad, his dad, lived down the road two or three houses across the street. So we were pretty close. Those three generations were, I grew up very close to my granddad and of course, my dad. And they did a lot of projects together, working on cars, working on houses, working on, you know, whatever, digging, cutting, building. And I remember some of you men will relate to when you were little and somebody was sawing a board or they were hammering a nail. And when you're a kid, you want to do what your dad is doing. You want to hammer something. And I remember getting underfoot. And there was always, when they were doing a project, it seemed like there was always some board, some little short board and a nail or two that was very integral to their project that needed a young child's attention, and so I would be assigned to hammer a nail or two that would take me a good hour, you know, to get it in there and get it straight. And well, that's crooked. You might want to do that again, and that's very important, you know. That, I don't know. Somehow, by the end of the project, they realized they miscalculated. Didn't need my board after all. Wasn't that important to the job, but it gave me practice and gets the kids out of the way for a little bit while you do the important stuff. I remember my dad's toolboxes and his tools. I remember my granddad's toolbox and his tools. I've got a little prop here today. I brought one of my toolboxes. Actually, this toolbox is very special to me. It's sentimental to me. I inherited this toolbox from my pastor, my wife's grandfather, Brother Axum. When he passed away, this old, beat-up, dirty toolbox. Those are the best kind, by the way. Broken in. It's you know, somebody's had this for years. That's done. They've been through many, many projects. And in the course of projects, you know, you go buy stuff and you go buy tools. And you usually, if you have to buy a tool, you don't throw it away. You throw it in the toolbox. Or if you have to buy some material, you're going to usually have some left, and you don't throw it away. You just, especially a toolbox that big, you just throw it in there. And so it was kind of neat inheriting that. You know, my wife and I recently moved into a home, and for the first time in 33 years of keeping a home, I went out, Dad, and bought me a big old tool chest. I've never owned, you know, one of those tall tool chests with all the drawers in it, and for the first time in my life, I feel organized when it comes to my tools. I know where everything is. That's the first time ever that I've known that I didn't get frustrated digging through a toolbox or trying to find my toolbox and where would I leave my toolbox. And, you know, some of you men, can, you know what I'm talking about. But as I was organizing my tools, I went through this old toolbox. I cleaned it out and Brother Axum was there in the garage with me. It was just, there were things in there that only Brother Axum would have bought, really. I found parts to yellow jacket traps. Hank? Huh? Brother Axum was a man of projects. Remember the squirrel feeders? That was going to pay off the church. And it went a long ways to helping to pay off the church. He built squirrel feeders and bee traps and clocks, and there was always some kind of project that he had going on. So that toolbox was loaded with memories. So in my tool collection, I threw a few tools in there today for some illustrations. But in my tools, I have tools that my dad has given me, and I know the ones that he gave me. I have tools that my granddad, his dad, gave me. I know which tools were his. And I have tools that Brother Axum has given me. And that's a blessing because I don't have to buy so many tools, see. But it's also a blessing because when I'm holding those tools, I feel like my granddad's hands were on these tools. His sweat were, you know, was in the handles of this pair of pliers, this hammer or whatever. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and I'm going to be finished by 11 o'clock is what I told the children, the children's pastor. So they'll be coming over and joining us. We're going to honor our fathers. We've got a gift for you. We want to pray over our dads before we send you away today to whatever you have. Remember, we have no church tonight. So Father's Day, we have one service, and we hope you can spend some time with your family. Every father is put on... on this earth to build something. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord, or unless the Lord, build the house. It says, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. In other words, if God's not in the building process, then you're wasting your time. If you're not building with God. Now, you can build a lot of things, and you can work on a lot of projects. And I'm talking about life. But if God's not in it, when I talk to couples in pre-marriage counseling, the first thing we discuss is God has to be the focal point, the main point. He has to be God in your marriage. You can't build a good marriage without God. When I talk to soon to be parents or people that are getting married and are going to be parents someday, and you know, I remind them, look, you can raise a family and you can try to make a living and provide for them, and you can have them in all kinds of sports and all kinds of activities, and you can buy them all the nicest clothes and work your fingers to the bone trying to provide all of those kind of things for them. But the most important thing you will ever do for that child is to train up that child in the way he should go. You've got one, absolutely one shot at that. You get no do-overs in this parenthood thing. Some things you can do, you know, golf, no big deal. You have a bad day at golf, go back tomorrow. Maybe you'll be better. But parenting, they are 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Only 1 year are they 1 year old. 1 year, 365 days are they 2 years old. You never get to do the twos over. And then that, when they start learning to listen and talk and repeat things, you only get one chance to impact their young sponge-like minds. What kind of words are you pouring into them? What kind of things are you pouring into them? You get one shot. They turn 18. They're legally grown. Anyway, the government says they're grown at 18. And there's your shot. You're done. Now, hopefully you've got some influence in their life after they're 18, but they don't have. It's only what they allow you to have. And so you get one chance. And you've been put here, dads, to build something great. And the most important job or the most important project you will ever have is being a good father to your children. And so if you want to build something, You got to have the right tools. Would you agree with that, men? Would you help me out? Put that up here. So let's talk about some of the essential tools that you're going to need to be a good father. Thank you, brother. Well, that's thank you. All right, so I've got a few. I just threw a few things in my toolbox we're going to talk about. Well, first of all, this proves the point. This proves my point of the first object, which is a manual, an instruction manual. And you can see I didn't even bother to take this out of the wrapper. I kind of gave that one away, didn't I? Everybody just close your eyes, worship for just a moment there. Just you and Jesus for just a minute. I'd started to. But this book that I hold right now in my hands is something that most men, we just think is absolutely worthless. It's a waste of ink. It's a waste of paper. Waste of somebody's time, because it's an instruction manual. And see, when you have superior intelligence and you instinctively know how things just go together, you don't have time to be bothered with all that reading and all the boring details of how to put that new gas grill together, you know. You better read the manual when you're putting a gas grill together. Better know what you're doing. Now, men, maybe some of you ladies, you ever just kind of glance at this, put it aside, put the thing together, get done, and have extra parts. Now, some things that may not be a big deal, but some things it's a very big deal. So you go looking at the manual, just the part that deals with the parts. How many parts? Did they give me extra parts? Nope. So then you start digging more. So you would have saved yourself some time if you would have consulted the manual to begin with. Amen? I've put things together before that when I got them together, because I didn't take time to read the manual, didn't work. The home that we just moved from last year, if you were to go to the bathroom in the basement and look at the vanity there, I had one job on that vanity, and it was just to put the door on. Put the door on the front. I had to drill a hole, put the knob in, put the door on. That's all I did. The plumber did everything else. So if you looked at that door, you would see at the bottom corner a hole, because that's where I drilled the first hole. And I put the knob on. And then I thought, yeah, Brother Southern's laughing. Oh, it doesn't go on the bottom, it goes on the top. So I just took it out, drilled another hole, put it on the top, and I hope that nobody ever noticed that. First thing my wife noticed. I didn't bother to look. It's just a simple door. Why do I need a manual, you know? Because I don't do that for a living. I need to look at the manual. When you don't read the instructions, you waste a lot of time, you run into a lot of trouble, you... None of you here, but maybe somebody gets mad. You lose your temper. My wife knows when I start a project, she busies herself somewhere else, because she knows me so well. I start out all chipper and excited, man, and about halfway in, I'm just, well, they don't give me enough parts. They don't, you know, they did. I didn't pay attention to the man. It gets frustrating. You get upset. You say things you shouldn't say. It's just bad, because you thought in your pride that you could do just fine on your own. So dads, listen to me. The gas grill thing, you know, the worst thing's going to happen is you maybe singe your eyebrows or something if you do that wrong. But this whole raising kids thing, it's a big deal. And if you want to build a healthy family, you got to get to the manual. You can't discard this manual. This is not a waste of ink. It's not a waste of paper. It's the only way that you're going to get to the end of that child's growing up years and be able to look at them walking up the aisle at graduation, walking down the aisle at the wedding. sitting in the hospital with them when they're looking at their newborn baby and your new grandchild. It's the only way that someday when you're old and you're looking at your children and their grandchildren and their home and how they're serving God, that's the only way that you're going to be pleased, is because you consulted the manual. God, how do I be a good father to this child that you say is an heritage of the Lord? I got to train them up in the way they should go. And you don't know till you look at the owner's manual. They say that there's no owner's manual for children. I understand what you're saying there, but really there is. It's the Word of God. Well, I think it was David who said, Lord, thy word will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So you've got to get the word in them. Amen. So the manual. Important information in here. Tells us how to be a good husband, how to be a good father, how to discipline your children, how to build a healthy home, how to be a man of God. It's all in here. But a lot of us guys, we don't like manuals, so we're not paying attention so much to this. We're just trying to do our own thing. And your heart is deceitful. And it'll lead you the wrong way. And you'll put holes in doors where they don't belong. And you'll end up with extra parts and extra pieces of life that God said you should have used. And if you'd used it right, you'd be all right. Everybody with me? Important information. You can't just do this thing on your own. Bad things are happening to families because we're not reading the instruction manual. And then, let's move on. I got to be done by 11. And then we'll talk about the hammer. And when I think of the hammer, I think about consistency. Everybody say, stick with the plan. Get in here, consult the manual. A lot of times when you buy something, it tells you the first page in the manual says, read this whole manual first. And then go back to page one. So it gives you an idea of the big picture, and then you go back and you take it step by step. Okay, sometimes things don't seem like they're making sense. This doesn't seem like it's going to fit there, but hey, I'm going to follow the manual. And sure enough, when you get there, things just start working. So you got to stick with the plan. You got to be consistent. See, when you nowadays they have nail guns, but still a lot of people, especially do the Amish use old fashioned hammers still? I think a lot of times they do, and a lot of people use hammers still today. But back in the day, if there was a house being built or any construction being done, you heard hammers. I mean, it was just, you know. I don't want to dent my pulpit, Brother Axum's. I mean, Brother Southern's back here thinking, Brother Hawkins, what are you doing? He built this pulpit, by the way. But you hear the sound of the hammer, and it's not. So if somebody's building a house, you don't hear one hit, huh? And we're done. If you're driving a nail, you don't give it one hit. If you're driving a nail into a 2x4, it's going to sound something like. And if you're like me, it's at the end. OCD. But it's not one hit, it's not two hits, it's consistently, consistently, consistently driving the nail. And if you're going to build a house, you're going to take a 2x4 and you're going to put it up in the right place and you're going to nail it with a nail and another nail, and that means several hits again, several hits again, several. And you don't build a house with one 2x4 and several nails, then you're going to get another. If you're building a house, you got to build a wall. You're going to frame the wall, you're going to put up the frame, and then you're going to put 2x4s, what, every 16 inches? So you don't put up one 2x4 and say, I think that'll hold. You go 16 inches and you start all over again. I'm telling you, raising children, being a good father, being a good man, it's all about consistency. You got to get in the manual. You got to find out what God expects of you, so you don't just pray every once in a while. You pray because you can't drive that nail home with one hit. You can't drive that nail home with one prayer. So every day you go to the Lord in prayer. God, help me to be a good father. Lord, help me. I didn't get it completely right yesterday, but here I am again on my knees praying. Lord, I'm going to keep hammering on that nail. I'm going to be consistent every single day, several times a day. You're going to consult your father. so you can be a good father. Everybody say, be consistent. That's what I think of when I think about the hammer. Consistency. So, if you're going to build your dream home, better get to the blueprint, and then you better follow the blueprint, and then you better get the hammer, and you better just be consistent and stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Don't give up. Brother Gunderman made a good point today that a lot of times dads aren't sticking around. And families without dads are struggling. And so we've got to just stay consistent. Before church, I numbered my pages. I numbered them wrong. Okay, I'm back on track. Okay. Here we go. Screwdriver. Now you're going to like this one. And I wish I had room in my toolbox, or I wish I had a thermos. I don't have a thermos, but I do have a cup of coffee. I've always wanted an excuse to drink my coffee while I was preaching. Found one. That's better than water. So, you ever notice sometimes, guys, when we get into our projects, we get so into our project, it's hard sometimes to get us to stop. We get so focused, and all we can think about is the job. In fact, not just projects, sometimes it can be anything. We get so focused on our work, we get so focused on our stuff, and if we're not careful, we'll spend every waking hour trying to finish, and trying to accomplish, and sun up to sundown, late into the night, and working on very little sleep, barely stopping to eat or take care of other things, and just get absorbed. And so, if we're honest this morning, guys, some of us just need to grab the thermos, or if you're a coffee drinker, a cup of coffee, and you need to take a break. And some of us, I like this, are wound a little too tight. And I'm just going to tell you that part of being a dad is learning how to loosen up a little bit. Lefty loosey, huh? Righty tighty, lefty loosey. So learn how to loosen up a little bit. It's okay to have a few screws loose. I am accused all the time by my family, my kids, my wife of having a just kind of a weird sense of humor, but at least I have a sense of humor. And I blame that man right back there for my sense of humor. And now Jordan and Tyler, they can blame that man, not me. They can blame that man back there too. I like it when I'm with my family and we're not just always talking about serious stuff. We can just, it's okay to have a screw or two loose. And just have a good time sometimes. Relax, joke around. Your kids need to know that you know how to just hang out with them and laugh with them and relax with them. And sometimes maybe you can't go on some extravagant vacation somewhere, but you got to take some time off and just spend some loosening up time with your family. That all right? So, you know, loosen a screw or two and take a sip of coffee. Hallelujah. Now I can go another hour with that caffeine. Take it away, Brother Gunderman. So, my dad and I, does anybody here know what we like to do together, my dad and I? There you go. See, Dad, I talk about you sometimes. And it's all about just, we had our first hunt this year. We went way too early, and we knew it was too early, but we just like to be in the woods together. And at the end of the day, we had absolutely no mushrooms, but when I posted on Facebook at the end of the day, I said, we had such a successful day. No mushrooms, But I got to spend the day with my dad. And we just, when we find him, it's awesome. When we don't find him, it's still pretty awesome. Because we're in the car together, we drive together, we go eat together, we just hang out and talk and joke and laugh, and we just have a good time. My kids, I've always been consider myself halfway athletic. I've played racquetball with my boys. I try to play games. Now, my daughter never was into sports too much. She was a little bit, but not as much, obviously, as the boy. So you got to find every child's different. You got to find out how to connect with each child, but you got to spend time with them. My daughter loves music. This morning, that song that I totally destroyed, I could not remember the chords, I didn't remember the words, I didn't remember how we sang it, but if my daughter looks at me and says, "Dad, can we sing together?" You better believe that's one way we connect together. Last night, I'll tell you just a little boring story, but it's kind of cool to me. So a few weeks ago, Sister Shelley, our secretary, was cleaning out some files in her office, old files. And somehow, 20 years ago, I had stored some music, sheet music, in a file, and it got in one of her drawers in there. So she brings me this pile of stuff. She says, "I don't know if this is yours, whose it is, but I'll let you do whatever you want with it." Now, you got to go back with me about 35 years. Hank, how long you been married? Sorry. 35 years. 35 years ago, you wouldn't know this, but I was a wedding singer. I've never told anybody that publicly before, but back then, because my daughter, I say that because my daughter last night, when she learned that that's where that music came from, she said, "Dad, you used to be a wedding singer?" I said, "Well, I never thought of it that way, but I guess I was." Back then, everybody wanted live singing, live music. They wanted somebody to play the piano and sing. And so I now have sheet music, Kenny Rogers' "Lady." And Lionel Richie, "Truly, My Endless Love." I got all these old wedding songs. So last night, my daughter demanded that I sing one of those songs. I didn't want to. I'm over it. I don't care, you know, about singing those for anybody ever again, to be honest with you. So just know, if I ever start warming up over here to do a solo, it would not be "Lady" or "Truly" or "Endless Love." But she wanted to hear one of those songs. So you know what I did? I sang the song. It was a goofy song, but my daughter, that's how we kind of unwind. We sing together. We talk about music together. Now my boys, yeah, they like music, but they'd rather talk about sports, or we'll play racquetball. I'm 52, and I'm the oldest one on our church softball team, but I'm still getting out there playing, and I enjoy it. And one of the main reasons is I get to hang out with my two sons on the softball field, and I can still run, I can still hit the ball, I can still catch a ball. So they haven't kicked me off yet, but I enjoy that. So some of you. So on Mother's Day, we had a little audience participation. So if you're up to it, maybe somebody would want to tell me what kind of things you and your dad did. It doesn't have to be just men, but maybe things that you and your dad, what kind of corny things or silly things. Maybe I thought about asking for dad jokes, but you never know where that might go. I recognize 25 letters of the alphabet. I've never understood why. That's my dad joke. There's my dad joke. Some of you will get that later. Okay, did anybody want anything that you did with your dad to just unwind, or that made, you know, you relaxed, or maybe you just want to share something, that some words of wisdom your dad gave you? And I'm going to be done by 11 o'clock, so I don't know how long you guys are going to go, but I'll be done by 11.
When I was growing up, I went to summer camp. And I remember my father getting up, well, he was an early riser anyway, and making me lemonade to take in my thermos from real lemons and sugar. And I remember watching him, and that was a good time. I'll never forget that.
That's awesome. Isn't that neat? Those little memories stick. I woke up on a Christmas Eve. I don't know how old I was, a little kid, and it was Christmas Eve. I was supposed to be in bed for Santa, right? And I walked into our living room and caught my dad putting together an electric racetrack. He's just putting the finishing touches on it. And I walked in and caught him, and so we spent the rest of the all night into the morning. I don't know, come to think of it, I don't know if it was a gift for me or him, but we both enjoyed it, didn't we, Dad? Anybody else share something? Brother Barrow?
Of course, me and my brothers, my brothers were almost 12 and 10 years older than me. So by the time that I came along, it's kind of like I'm following in my father's footsteps with Wyatt. But he had me in later in life. So when by the times my dad played baseball with my brothers, but by the time I came along, Dad was starting to get slowing down in life. But a lot of the fond memories I have of my father was we had a horseshoe pit in our backyard. And my dad going out there and showing me at a young age and playing horseshoe, going back and forth, and him telling me, talking to me. And that was a lot of shared memories of stories. And we didn't have air conditioning. I tried to explain that to my kids. We didn't have air conditioning. So my dad would always tell stories of ours was a fan in the window. In the mornings, it would blow the air out. And at night, we would switch the fans and blow the cool air in. And my dad would come up at night, and it would be so hot there. We lived there at Fairfax and Sanders, and my dad would try to tell me how that it was so cold outside, and we were just trying to be warm and try to tell me all the different stories. But those are the fond memories I share with my father. Is the long, it wasn't baseball; it was slower times and that type of thing. But that was some of the cool things I did with my father.
Yeah, that's neat. I spent Brother Barrow's older brother, the middle brother Trace, and I were very close friends growing up. And one summer that I detasseled corn, he and I detasseled corn together, and it was a hot summer, and you get all sunburnt, and at night you're all, just miserable. And I spent the night with Trace, a couple nights, and I remember your dad coming up there, because Trace is up there, upstairs, windows open, "Dad, it's so hot, Dad." And he said, "Just think cool thoughts." Didn't work on me, and I might have worked on you guys. It was hot. Anybody else? Oh, okay. My dad's going to talk. Yes. Won't tell you anything about me.
Is it okay?
Absolutely.
Well, I just couldn't sit here and let this go on without adding a little bit to it. My wife and I got married. My sister had already had four girls. My grandfather, he had like 14 girls. So I got serious with God and my sister. I said, "I'll show you how to have a boy." She said, "You'll never have a boy." Well, she didn't realize I went before God. And I said, "Lord, I want my wife and I's first child to be a baby boy." Back then, we didn't have these things where you text back and forth. It was word of mouth, pretty much. I came home from the hospital, and my sister said, "What was it?" I said, "A boy." So this young man that you all have here as your great pastor is an answer from God. God has blessed his life, blessed my wife, my wife's life. He has brought nothing to us but blessings. And I am so blessed today and have so much fun with my son. God bless you.
Thanks, Dad. I love you, Dad. Glad to hear. If you ever wonder why I have an inflated self-esteem, I'm an answer to prayer. And I tease my sister that she was just an afterthought, I don't tell her that. They prayed for a daughter next and got a daughter. So it's okay. Loosen up. Enjoy your time together. And I'm going to close here real soon here. But I need to talk to you about a couple of items. I'll throw them together here. This is a level. If you can't see it out there, you know what a level is. What do you use that for? Yeah, that's pretty in the name, isn't it? Brother Southern, this is not level. The floor is off. Yes, I knew you would say that. I already knew that was coming. It was the carpenters, not the pulpit builder. And this is a tape measure. And these are tools that really, they're very important tools for testing the integrity of things that you are building. So any builder knows that you can really, really mess things up badly just by a slight miscalculation. There are some things you just don't eyeball it. You can cut a hole in a piece of drywall for an outlet or a light switch, and it only has to be off a little bitty bit, and it'll throw everything off, and you'll be repairing it or reworking it, or it just, and I've always heard, measure twice, right? Cut once. Measure twice, cut once. I learned a few things, Dad. Lefty loosey, righty tighty. Measure twice, cut once. So sometimes you'll measure something and you look at the number wrong. Well, you didn't get it. Some things you got to get right down to. Now, everybody knows what these numbers are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But if you look a little closer, you got these little bitty fractions all the way down to what? All the way down to a 16th of an inch. So some things you need to measure it. Oh, that's 11 and a half, and that's 13. But some things you got to get right down. Oh, wait a minute, that's... Actually, it's smaller than a 16th, isn't it? Does it go smaller than a 16th? 32nd? Yeah. Little bitty marks. You got to look real close to see those marks. But there are some things that when you're building them, you got to get right down to the 32nd. 32nd. 32nd? I'll look that up later. Of an inch. You got to be precise. Precise. You can't eyeball it. You can't guess it. You can't say, well, that looks pretty level. Because your wife will come in. When we were selling our home that we just moved from, we were doing some repairs. One of the repairs was on our patio that was kind of, it was a patio / deck type construction. And it was concrete. And then around the edges, the previous owner had put some wooden... what would that have been? Railings, thank you. And one of the railings had come loose and needed, it just rotted is all it was. So I replaced it, and my daughter was helping me. My daughter, who's musically inclined, not building inclined. And so I have to really pay attention when I'm doing that stuff too. But anyway, you know, I'm talking about drilling holes in concrete type of deal here. I don't like that. That's no fun. And the tap cons and all that stuff, just it's no fun. And so I'm drilling. I thought I had it all level. My daughter's there helping me raise it up. And I mean, we were almost done when my wife came home. And she, you guys know that look. How do I tell him look? It's because I'm like, hey, what do you think? I mean, I'm sweating. And my daughter watched me work hard and sweat, and she felt bad for me. But Cindy just, she just tells it like it is, you know. She says, well, it's not level. It's crooked. And I'm like, what do you mean it's crooked? From where I was up close. But she's standing back and goes, I go, what do you mean crooked? She goes, well, it goes like this. Crooked, you know. Not level, not straight. So I walk over where she is. And Abigail's like, Mom, he's worked so hard on, you know. Like, Abigail's just going to let it slide. I'd worked so hard. But Cindy's like, look, it's, and so I'm looking at it. Yes, you're right. So I had to redo it. And all I really needed was one of these. But you just can't eyeball stuff. Not this life thing, not raising kid thing. So in this whole idea of raising our children, we need to I kind of liken this to integrity. Integrity, so that we understand that our lives must have integrity. We must be men that our children can trust. We've got to be true. We've got to be on the level. If you don't want your walls to be crooked, you make sure they're on the level. And if you get off just a little bit and you don't correct it, you'll have a mess. So I must maintain my integrity. If I don't want my kids to be liars, I can't be a liar. If I don't want my kids to grow up cussing, I can't go around cussing. If I don't want my kids to disobey the laws, they can't watch daddy disobey the laws. If I don't want my kids to grow up bad-mouthing other people, their teachers, their bosses, their pastors, their, you know, they can't watch me do that. I've got, so I put the, and a lot of people, it's kind of like the getting the mote out of your brother's eye when you got a beam in your eye. And we do that sometimes with our children if we're honest. We want to apply this to their life in every little bitty detail. Don't you lie to me, and you lied today. Okay, I'm coming back up here. Oh, I only heard one. That's right. You know, you don't steal. Don't you dare steal. Don't you hit your brother. I'll beat you to death, you know. So this has to be applied to us first, and then, but we must apply this to our children's lives. And I'll tell you what's something that's lacking today is correction. Our kids are off a little bit, and we're kind of like Abigail. You know, don't tell him. Mom, don't, he's worked so hard, you know. And we think it's all about, well, they're trying. Well, if they're trying, and I was, folks, I really did. I put some sweat and effort into that rail, but it was off. And if somebody didn't come along, thank you, dear, if I never did, thank you. I don't think I did. I think I was just mad. But if she hadn't come along and said, Ron, that is crooked, it would be crooked today. The buyers of the house probably would have said, you know, knock $100 off and I'll fix that. So, if we don't apply this to our children's lives and correct things that are wrong, provide discipline, provide correction, do it in love, but you got to correct them and you got to tell them, this is how we live. This is what the Word of God says. I've been reading the manual. You can't tell them to follow the manual if you're not reading the manual. I read the manual. Now look, in this aspect of our life, we're supposed to live this way. I mean, it is 9 inches and 1/32 of an inch. Second of an inch. I'll look that up later. And no, not 9.5 inches. You gotta be willing to say no. That man and woman sitting back there, they told me no more than a few times, and I was an answer to their prayers, folks. I'm going to use that one for a while around here. I've got more, but come back next Father's Day. We'll finish up. Amen. Hey, brother, come on in, Brother Pace. You want to? Let's all stand together, can we? Thank you. You know, and this was not in my notes, but when I was grabbing the tools, I threw this scraper in there. It wasn't in my notes. It just came to me that some things, I want to see how this works. Some things in life, you just got to scrape it off. And move on. Keep going. Does that work? Good. I'll preach on that next time. Good. That'll be good. You look forward to that. Just scrape it off and go on. I might just preach a whole message on scrape it off. Thank you, Jesus. Fathers, if you're here, would you come on up around the front? We want all of our dads to come up. We're going to just have you stand lined up around the altar here, and we want to honor you and recognize you. We're going to pray over you today. We we've got a little gift for you that we want to present. This is a good-looking group of dads. Hey, Brother Meadows, can you scoot down that way maybe a little bit? Everybody just move the line down. Just move on down. Move to your left. Yeah, because I think we got room for everybody to get. We want to get a picture. Somebody? Yes. Yeah, so come on around there. Sorry, dads. I know I'm bossing all the dads around here. We don't even like to read instruction manuals, let alone get bossed around, do we? I'll stand where I want to stand, young man. All right, everybody look up there at Sister Vedas and smile. Not you mothers, just the fathers. All right. Praise the Lord. Before we pass those out, I would like everybody just kind of, all you folks out there, just kind of stretch your hands out towards these fathers. Dads, I want to tell you that in a day, and I think you can agree with me, that it's not necessarily easy being a man in a world that's telling everybody it doesn't. You can be a woman if you want to. And masculinity's kind of out of style. But let me just tell you this. We need good, godly, wife-loving, children-loving dads. They're not afraid to sweat, they're not afraid to get dirty, and they're not afraid to act like a man. And you men represent that. I'm looking at every one of you, and I tell you, you represent good men in this world today, and we appreciate you. Do we not? We love you, and listen, the best thing you can do for these men is lift them up in prayer every day. God help my husband, God help my father to be a good, godly man. And don't be afraid to use that word, man. Amen? Lord, I pray over these men of God. Lord, I pray over these fathers today. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength. I pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom to lead their families, to influence lives. I pray, God, that they would be the spiritual priests of their homes and their marriages. I pray that you would make us the fathers that we should be, the husbands that we should be. Lord, help them in this day when all of every spirit is coming against us, Lord, that we would stand up and that we would have integrity, Lord, that we would live above temptation and that we would not succumb to the luring spirits that would try to drag us down, but Lord, to walk in your grace and to walk in your power. I pray a fresh anointing on every man in this place right now, and I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Men, why don't we just worship God for a minute? Would you do that with me? Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to tell you that that is special. There was a time when men didn't even hardly, I mean, back in the day, men hardly ever went to church. The women went to church. And then when men started showing up to church, they just kind of felt like it was a woman's thing, but they came and they sat. But we have men here that worship God, serve God, lead our church, lead their families, and we need to celebrate that. We really do, and I want you guys to know that I celebrate you. Thank you for being men of God and leading in worship. These men don't sit back. They don't sit back and let you, they don't sit back and let you carry the service, carry the worship. They lead in worship. And I just tell you, as a pastor, that is special. Thank you for that. We love you. All right, so we have a gift for you. Do you want to explain this?
There's a Coke in these. If you prefer Diet Coke, I do have a few Diet Cokes, so just
let us know when we get to. Can I tell everybody what's in it? Well, can I have one of them? Yes, I would like diet, please. So this is kind of neat. My wife the other day, she was telling me, I thought about doing this. And she mentioned popcorn and a bottle of soda. And I said, yeah, that's, I didn't get the connection. It just, I'm kind of slow. And it didn't, until she was putting them together on the table, and I realized, oh, popcorn, pop, and a Tootsie Pop, and a note that says, Happy Father's Day to a great pop. That's genius. I tell you, I got a smart wife. She must be smart. She married the answer of prayer. Dad, thanks for setting me up for quite a while. I do believe the Lord flooded out their roads today. This is a God thing. Amen. Brother Barrow's like, I'm already getting tired of that joke. It's in my way. I think you guys down here are going to get diets. Oh, really? Huh. Good job, man. I just figured most of us guys give me the regular soda. Oh, I get it. We're standing up in front of people. Yes. Of course I want the diet soda. I'll give my child the Tootsie Pop because I will not eat a Tootsie Pop. I'm way too manly for that. I'll be eating the Tootsie Pop in church. I hope you all have a great Father's Day. Happy Father's Day from us. And if you can, if you have time and everything, stop by on your way out. There's a photo booth there. Grab your family and get a picture and post it up on Facebook and tag the church. I hope you all have a great Father's Day. Maybe you can do something fun. You got any plans today, Brother Barrow? Take a nap. Awesome, yeah. Sister Barrow, is this true? I guess. Hey, we love y'all. Thanks for being with us on... Oh, well, I already had one. But I'll take two. I am the answer to prayer. So, that's the last time. I'm done, Sister Linda. I'm done. She's shaking her whole... Hey, we love you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Remember, no service. Nope, I'm sorry. Stay put for just a minute. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Hey, buddy. We got three generations up here. You want to stand up here with me? Thank you. As a church, we'd like to just take just a moment to show Pastor how much we appreciate him. I was told to share a few memories from my childhood. From him being my father, but I'm going to talk about it in kind of a pastoral twist because I remember at the age, I was either two or three, it was the early 90s, and we had moved back down shortly thereafter, I believe, from Kokomo, and at the time we didn't really have a place to live, so our bedrooms were upstairs in the old church and where the classrooms are now. And it just shows you that the call of God for him to be here at this church was so powerful and so prevalent in his life that without a place to stay, my parents, me and Tyler at the time, were living upstairs in the church. And just a few short years later, when he took over pastorship here at this church, I remember a Wednesday night when it was our family and just a handful of people next door. And if you look at the congregation today, it's just a testament of withstanding time. So I just want to take a moment to say how much we love you, how much we honor you. You're a great pastor, you're a great dad, and we love you. Happy Father's Day. Oh, I love
you. Thank you so much, and it's my honor. It really is. You don't even know. I wake up every day marveling that I get to pastor this great church and great people. I love you. Thank you so much. God bless you.